I was with a particular company of infantry Marines, Able Company 1st Marine Regiment, as a four observer assistant with a lieutenant and four other men in the team. You slept where you could, and the place you did when you stopped after a combat movement during the day, the first thing you do would you dig yourself a foxhole. Yeah. You'd dig yourself a hole in the ground to get ready to dunk down and maybe eat a little cold chow. And we have what they call sea rations, and they weren't real appetizing. The best thing in the sea ration was probably the fruit cocktail or the peaches and maybe a Hershey bar. Mm-hmm. And but they had a horrible can of what they call sausage patties that were half full of grease that was just, I couldn't eat them. I just flat couldn't eat them. At one time, our artillery outfit that I was with, we were supporting a South Korean Marine Corps regiment. Mm-hmm. And we were attached to them. And the first night that we stopped after moving with them during the day, they brought us rations, food. Mm-hmm. And it consisted of a cup of rice and a fish head. I could handle the rice, but I just couldn't handle the fish head, especially when it was looking at me.
Yeah, not that many people could.
So I was also attached to a Turkish combat company. Mm-hmm. And they had first class food. They just, and if you didn't go back for seconds, the cook took it as an insult that you didn't like his food. And the Turks were rough kids. they were rough combat ready. Yeah. And I was also attached in the time over there. I was attached to a Canadian commando team, and probably the most aggressive of all were the Canadian commandos that we were with. They wore no helmets; they wore just berets, mm-hmm. and their physical conditioning was unbelievable. I thought I was in pretty good condition as a U.S. Marine, but well, those Canadian commandos were unbelievable. They would literally hop on their knees from rock to rock.
Jeez.
And they'd go across ridge lines, and they were combat ready. They were physically fit, combat ready men. Mm-hmm. The Turks were brutal. The Turks took no prisoners. Mm-hmm. The South Korean Marine Corps took no prisoners. Mm-hmm. I saw some brutality I didn't like with the South Koreans.
Okay, my next question, of course you know, MacArthur was released on April 11th, 1951. What were your feelings about his release and General Douglas MacArthur, the man himself?
When we got wind that MacArthur had been relieved, our particular outfit that I was with, the morale, went really down. Mm-hmm. I think my true spirit and my true feeling was that MacArthur was a brilliant military man. Mm-hmm. He had guided our combat offensive in Korea up to that point with nothing but brilliance. Mm-hmm. He had utilized great people to do just that. Mm-hmm. And we had less regard for a president at that time than we did for MacArthur.
Yeah.
There was a lot of anger, mm-hmm. that MacArthur got relieved in our outfit.
Right.
And that was purely from the military side. I can't speak for anybody that was not connected with the military.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that MacArthur was should have been utilized and should have been given free hand to do what he wanted to do.
Okay, my next question. The better president in your eyes, Truman or Eisenhower? Between those two.
I would have to say Eisenhower.
Really?
For this reason. Harry Truman was a good politician.
Mm-hmm.
Eisenhower was a good military man.
Yeah.
I'm going to side with the military side because I think our country at that time, their particular terms in office, needed a strong military type voice to try to rule things because of the politicians were wishy-washy. And I believe, I mean, I think Harry Truman backed down out of pure fear, where Eisenhower would have stood up to them all and said, enough's enough.
Right.
And again, I'm going from the side of the fact that I was in the military and I sided with Eisenhower because of his beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Truman made a good decision to unleash the atomic bomb. I have no problem with that. But he took the advice of the military people to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
But when he went against a military man like MacArthur, who had a tactician in the military field, unbelievable, I lost respect for Harry Truman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was glad to see Eisenhower come in, because I felt our country could be stronger with a military backed or military-minded president, then it's just strictly a politician.
Yeah.
And they play both sides of the street, where Eisenhower was going to play one side, and that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, the next question. July 27, 1953 was the end of the Korean War. What was the reaction of the people and the branch you were on, and basically U.S. people?
We felt that I was still in the Marine Corps in 1953. I was mm-hmm. not in Korea. I had come back, and I was stationed at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina at that time, getting ready to go to a school at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, as a specialist. But the general consensus of the guys I served with in the Marine Corps, they regretted the fact that we hadn't accomplished more.
Mm-hmm.
We hadn't really proven to the North Koreans very much, I don't think. We take ground and then we give it back, and we take ground and we give it back, and we play a chess game with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really silly combat. It was stupid to lose lives the way we were losing lives.
Right.
Playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I was glad the war was over with.
Mm-hmm.
So that there wouldn't be any more senseless killing, senseless loss of life. If you're going to go into a war, you got to go in with the idea that you're going to be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to take what you intend to take.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't back down to your enemy. You don't let them hogtie you with words. And in a lot of cases, I think this country and the UN forces were hogtied with words with politicians.
Mm-hmm.
So on that behalf, I'm sorry that we didn't accomplish more. I think we could have accomplished more if we'd have had a stronger commander-in-chief. Yeah.
Okay, my next question is racism. I know there was a lot of racism between blacks and whites in the 50s, as there is today still. What was it like dealing with racism when you were at war, and then, you know, when you came home and saw it in everyday life? What was racism really like?
Brent, let me go back a little further than prior to my being in the military service. I was born and raised in Baltimore, and I remember distinctly the black people told to sit at the rear of the bus,
mm-hmm.
or the rear of the streetcar.
Right.
Or you walk into a public restaurant or a public building, and you'd see white restrooms and black restrooms,
mm-hmm.
white men's rooms and black men's rooms. This was hard for me to understand, even as a young boy, why we would treat people that way.
Mm-hmm.
If we had in fact, abolished slavery,
mm-hmm.
had we really abolished it?
Yeah.
Were we really hypocritical by doing what we were doing?
Mm-hmm.
We put it on paper, lost the president through an assassination, and bingo, we're still, technically, legally, we're not in slavery,
mm-hmm.
but morally we were.
Right.
We still had them as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
We still had them under our thumb. I never agreed with it. I never ever thought that it should ever have been done.
Right.
High schools in Baltimore were segregated when I went to school. When I went in the Marine Corps in 1948, we had white platoons in Parasone and black platoons, and we used to compete against each other with drill teams and drilling, and they were sharp. They were good. When we got to Korea, it was a different thing. When we got into combat, they didn't have black companies in the Marine Corps and white companies. They put them together. But the Army kept them segregated in the first part of the Korean War. Then after 51, 52, the Army brought them together. But the Marine Corps, from day one, had white and black together in the same outfit in Korea. When I came back from Korea, the whole thing in the Marine Corps had changed radically. It was there was no more of the black and white. It was all together. I had good friends, black friends in the Marine Corps. It bothered me to see this country continue that feeling and that agitation. It bothers me today that we have this. However, I do think that my personal viewpoint is news media keeps this thing stirred up, whether it be a newspaper or a television or a magazine article. It constantly stirs the heat. I really truly believe that if people would get on with their lives and put it in the past and get away from this idea of black and white, and we all come together because we only have one creator. One. That's it. Whether he's black, white, yellow, green, purple. One creator. We need to understand that we've created a life. We need to come together.
Has there been a great change from the 50s to the 90s?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think there has been more openness. You still have pockets of people that will always, until generations, quit teaching generations this hatred. I think if people were allowed and not have certain rules and regulations forced down their throat, you'd get a whole lot more accomplished than like when you're a little baby or a little child, you're told to do something and you rebel against it. There's ways of doing that in the way of teaching and upbringing. And I think it can go along with the white and the black situation and this hatred for one another. I think it's lack of intelligence. It shows to me a sign of really having low esteem for their own race. When you hold it against a black brother or a black sister that you have this hate, I think that's a sign of a real stupidity.
Okay. We are now going to stop this tape and flip it over so we will have more room to continue our interview.